Hello and welcome to the Green Room Golf Course podcast from the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. Thanks for listening to this podcast, which sheds a light upon the golf industry and what it takes to maintain a modern course. I hope you enjoy the show. Mental health issues have really hit the news recently, with some quite tragic consequences. And it's not just celebrities that are affected, with suicide being the biggest killer of men aged under 40 in the UK today. It seems like the problem's widespread, and certainly greenkeepers are finding themselves under increasing and often unwarranted and unreasonable pressure. The weather's changing, the economy is struggling, and tools that greenkeepers have historically used are being removed from the market, making their jobs even more difficult. This week's episode of the podcast was recorded at BTME on the Green Room Podcast Live stage, where Curtis Terrell sat down with Mick Davey, who's the head greenkeeper at Hazel Grove, and who set up a group to allow greenkeepers to support each other through difficult times. In recognition of his efforts, Mick was awarded the Outstanding Contribution of the Year award at the Bigger Welcome celebration. Also on stage was Heather Mully, who's manager at Enville Golf Club, and Simon Smith, the PGA professional and general manager at Aston Wood. Each is able to provide an insight into their own experiences with overcoming mental illness, with the main message being that it's good to talk. So, before I go, I just wanted to remind you that we've got a HR helpline where bigger members can get free advice and support. We've also got the Benevolent Fund that's intended to help out members who encounter difficult moments and need financial support. Links are in the show notes and on the Bigger website. I hope you enjoy the show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Green Room Podcast live stage. My name is Curtis Tyrell. I'm the Director of Agronomy at Desert Highlands Golf Club and the host of the Course Reports podcast. Carl Hansel, the Green Room host, has handed me the mic this week to do some live stage podcasts with some of our industry leaders throughout the business. And today we're honored to have with us Mick Davey, Course Manager at Hazel Grove Golf Club, Heather Mully, General Manager at Enville Golf Club, and Simon Smith, the General Manager at Aston Wood Golf Club. Welcome to the Green Room live stage.
Thank you very much.
Hi.
How has the show been? Is everybody just arriving or?
Just arriving for myself, yeah, so far.
We came up yesterday, so first time in the show today, so we've just had a little look around, but we're going to have another look around this afternoon, aren't we?
Yeah.
To meet up with my course manager and just got some meetings tomorrow as well, so going to make the most of it.
Fantastic. Well, we've a very interesting topic for us to talk about today. We want to talk about mental health issues in the golf industry, which I can tell you back home is a topic that is coming to the forefront. There's been a recent Golf Digest article about greenkeeper and mental health issues, so there's a lot of discussion about it back in the United States as well, which is good. So I'm excited for this conversation today. But before we do that, I'd like to just get some background from each of you and have you share with our listeners where you're from and the facility that you work out, how long you've been there, that sort of thing. So Mick, let's just start with you.
Okay, I'm Mick Davey of Hazel Grove Golf Club, just outside Stockport, near Manchester. I've been there, just completed 29 years. Prior to that, I was head greenkeeper at a golf club near Preston, Ashton and Lear. And prior to that, I was an assistant golf professional before I went into greenkeeping. Loved the job, lived the job, and played the job, to be honest. So
we greenkeepers would say you came to the bright side of the front. But who knows how. So you were a pro, so did you play well?
No, that's why I'm going to say. I took back it too, so I wasn't good enough to be what I wanted to be. So.
Sure.
And I loved the game, and I got very friendly with the head greenkeeper when I was assistant at Abbeydale in Sheffield, and he recommended I went into the industry, and it was the best move I made.
Fantastic.
It's wonderful. I've had a great career, great time, just an occasional blip as you get, but apart from that, no end. Excellent time.
Sure. Heather?
Right, I've been in the industry for 17 years. Started off as an assistant at Enville Golf Club, which is a 36-hole private members club in the Midlands. Was made administration manager in 2012 and then general manager in 2016. In November of 2019, I won GCMA Manager of the Year, which was a great honour.
Yes, congratulations.
And I've been worried and noticed within the industry that there is an issue with mental health, and it can be a very lonely place. And so I contacted the GCMA and we started to try and get something going to create a helpline or somewhere where we could, you know, listen and try and help people. So that's where I came from.
Fantastic. Simon.
Simon Smith from Massland Golf Club. I'm a golf professional by trade. And I was a golf professional up until I turned to the dark side. I turned to the dark side about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I've been asked to work golf club for 27 years. So it's same as Mick. It's been a long journey. So.
Right, right. Hey, that, you know, that says a lot, I think, that you guys have been at your facilities for so long. And, you know, you have very tenured career, so I think we'll have some great insight today. But, you know, I thought that we maybe kind of go back. We'll start with you, Simon. We'll work our way back around. But,
sure.
You know, share with the group some of the things that you've encountered in your career that have brought this issue to awareness for you.
Mine was a personal one. That happened 2 or 3 years ago, where at the time I didn't realize it. I'd got a problem creeping into my life, and I ended up in a high-speed police chase, and it was all everything went wrong. Probably this, you know, the same as me. I was looking at a central reservation zone and an exit, and it could have gone either way at the time. And I'm pleased to say I chose the exit.
Yeah.
And decided to do something about the whole mental health issue in my life, but also to try and help other people with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the same, or may have had the same, similar issues.
And the point at which you reached that point in your life, was work different at that time? Was there circumstances that were creating more pressure?
I think a lot of people go through it. You know, everybody who's in the leisure industry, you know, we're expected to produce more for less.
Mm-hmm.
And that can get on top of you, the never-ending demands of golf club and the industry itself. And that was just a part of it. That was just a part of what happened to me personally. A lot of it was the life stuff that had gathered itself up at the bottom of the volcano, so to speak, and then it finally erupted. But yeah, work played a big part in it. You know, working too many hours, didn't really see it. Didn't recognise it, and didn't some people that should have seen it or thought they'd seen it didn't recognise it as well. So
mm-hmm.
it was a real eye, to say the least. It was an eye opener.
Right, right. And so Heather, you mentioned that you have reached out to your association and you've begun a hotline or a place for people to go.
Yeah.
So tell us about what motivated you to do that.
Okay, well, I had a few personal experiences within my golf club as well where staff weren't treated as I think they should have been treated. And unfortunately, at private members' clubs, you have a committee. And that committee, unfortunately, sometimes, how they would handle themselves in their life away from the golf club, in their own business life, is not the way that they handle themselves within the golf club. And it seemed to be an ongoing issue. You know, they didn't take, there was nobody there to take the time to take these people aside and work with them and try and get them through their issues and problems with more training or understanding what the issues were and trying to address those. It was an aggressive, right, we've listened around the bar and this is wrong, and straight in there, and you know, you're not doing your job right, not how can we help you? This is what we want to achieve. There was lack of conversation,
mm-hmm.
and I've noticed that quite a lot, and it alarms me that is what happened. And speaking to Mick and speaking to Simon, it seems to be, and other managers as well in the GCMA, it seems to be an ongoing issue unfortunately, golf clubs, I don't know whether it's the governance of the clubs aren't right and that needs improving, mm-hmm. but I think a key to it is education as well, so that people are educated that actually, yes, we are in the leisure industry, but it can't happen that way. It has to be structured and there has to be help available.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that people that have achieved the level of being a member at a club, obviously working in their own industries and being very successful to be able to do that, they get into a club and like everything's out the window now all of a sudden, and we're behaving in, or they're behaving in a different way. You think that, and I don't mean from a management side, but from a club side, member side, is that a result of lack of leadership and ground rules, or?
Sometimes I think it's there's different how it happens at different clubs, but yes, sometimes I think that's an issue, and I think it's because you're a member of a particular private members club, you think that, you know, you have the right. I think some members, unfortunately, think that they have the right to speak to people in a way that they perhaps wouldn't do in their employment. I think it's a mixture of lots of different things, but I think it needs, you know, addressing, and they need to be made aware of it as well.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some fantastic people within every club.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
But it only takes a few.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's really interesting to talk with you all about this, because if you came to the United States, it's the exact same story, really. You know, I mean, in terms of private clubs, having worked in private clubs my whole life, so I can tell you that, you know, it's a very common scenario. So it's people everywhere, I guess, and it may be more unique to our industry, and that's kind of a question we'll get to later. But Mick, tell us about your experiences at Hazel Grove over 29 years and some of the challenges that you faced.
Well, I think for me, my biggest problem was how the industry had evolved from my first starting in 1980 to working the way through, how the expectation became greater than resources provided. So resources being staff levels, budget levels, even to sort of the weather not being the resource it used to be, which created a big problem. And then the expectation of the modern golfer rather than the more traditional golfer became so great through television, media and things like that, they became to expect their golf course to be looking exactly the same, but without the funds being spent on the first place. I think part of the problem within greenkeeping in general is that we all care deeply, possibly care too much. And because we care too much, we then try and present too much, then put too much pressure on ourselves to actually to present the golf course that they actually require. And as I say, in 2008-ish, you had the bank crash, so we went into austerity, so we had less money again, came through. My staffing levels dropped by half. My budget dropped, but the expectation rose. So this led to work not being carried out that could have been. The greens in 2015 were poor because of lack of maintenance that had not been allowed to do at present from previous hierarchy. And then, unfortunately, I found myself in this position where you look at a tree and think, I wonder if that'll take my weight, which wasn't a great place to be. Feeling I was an island, feeling very, very lonely, and feeling as if I was totally, totally speaking a different language to anybody else anywhere near me. I then was fortunate that I've got a first wonderful family. They were supporting me fantastically and looked after me. I was averaging between 2 hours sleep and 4 hours sleep a day at night time, which didn't help either, because that's the problem that goes in. And they get the anxiety attacks, the breathlessness that goes with it. And then I attended a BIGGA stress seminar at a golf club, and I walked into that room and there were faces there that I knew, and faces that were there from prestigious golf clubs, and I suddenly clicked and realised that I wasn't alone. From that moment on, I felt, right, this needs addressing. So I then started speaking out myself, started trying to reach out to people near to me. We created a South Manchester support group, of which is successful, and we have a chat and we have a whinge and a laugh at the same time. And then from the back of that, I wondered how far it was going to go. So I created a Facebook page, a mental health support group Facebook page. And I was surprised that it's actually international. I've got people from all around the world on it. And I began to realise it just isn't UK. It just isn't in golf. It's in other industries as well anyway. But it's difficult to actually explain unless you've actually been there in the first place. Mm-hmm.
Bigger has teamed up with Exact to provide every Greenkeeper member with access to free help and advice that will make your workplace a more professional and positive environment. A team of qualified advisors will be on hand to assist Bigger members with any HR problems that arise, with instant advice just a phone call away. From harassment and bullying at work, to help with employee handbooks, or discussing your entitlement to paternity and maternity leave, a dedicated team of advisors is on hand at no additional cost to you. It's all included in your Bigger membership. The advisors can help from the very early stages through to the conclusion of the matter, and unlimited telephone and email advice is available for each case. For more information, head to the Member Services and Benefits section of the Bigger website. Links are in the show notes.
Fortunately for me that I did speak and I spoke to the incoming chairman of Greens, who then took me to one side, started supporting me, started doing things to help me. I had a very good team that they also backed and helped me, and the club in general were very supportive. But there are still those members that, Greenkeeper, you're only cutting grass, how can you get stressed at Greenkeepers? I cut my lawn, I don't get stressed over cutting my lawn. And you get that sort of attitude comes through. But I also think, because it is a leisure industry, that they don't think they have to follow the rules of the employment law. And so it's a case of, it's a golf club, we do what we want, we are a golf club. And that is an area that needs to be addressed, possibly by the whole associations within the game of golf. They need to try to create some sort of code of practice that golf clubs have to adhere and sign up to be allowed to be members of Congo or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a forward way to go.
Yeah, you know, back to your Facebook page and your South Manchester support group. So what kind of things, how often do you meet, and what kind of things do you post on the Facebook page, and how do you share and help each other through those mechanisms?
In the South Manchester support group, we try and meet once a month, unless it's really super busy times, but in general we do try and meet once a month. It has been good. We get people leave but then come back because they move from the area or whatever, and it has helped people. The Facebook page, really, I started out just by putting out my story, if you like, inviting people to come along and attend, or attend the page and things like that. And basically it consists of, hopefully, motivational quotes, motivational situations, other people put on their feelings. Some people just read them, I've been told, and just get help by actually knowing there's something out there where they can turn to. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, it's a support page for you to put whatever you want, for you to read whatever you want, with no judgment, no one's going to cast any judgment or anything like that. We're all in the same boat, we just need to speak out.
Now, is Hazel Grove, the club, are they aware that you've done so much to organise and bring awareness to?
I'm not sure how much they are aware. I mean, my closest people, I work with the general manager and the chairman of the club, they know. Last year I was in France doing a similar thing to this in Paris in November. So there are people that do know, but there are a lot of members that still don't really appreciate there's a mental health problem within the game of greenkeeping or the game of golf, I think, to some degree.
Right.
So,
You know, you talked about how much we as greenskeepers and industry professionals care. When it drives me crazy when people just say, it's just grass. It's not just grass to us. And that's probably the biggest disconnect, I think.
Every green is a schoolyard. Every blade of grass is a school child.
Yeah.
They don't all grow the same, they don't all feed the same.
That's
but
right.
The difference for us is they can tell them when they're ill. We've got to recognise when the grass is ill, or when it needs dressing, when it needs washing, or whatever. So we take control of the grass's life.
Yeah.
So in a way, we are parents, doctors, everything to do with turf is more than what people actually appreciate or realise.
Right. Right. Well, good for you with all that work you're doing. That clearly you've taken a step forward, and you're leading a group of people that need a lot of help and making a big difference. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Heather, Mick said maybe we need to do something as an association, as a bigger organization, to help get the message out. So talk a little bit about where you are with what you're working on.
Yeah.
And where you see that headed.
Okay, well, it was very interesting to hear what Mick had to say, and it's heartwarming to know that there's action being taken in the industry already. We're hoping to get a helpline in the next few months. We haven't finalised all the details of it, but it will be a general helpline where you can just ring, and if all you need is to have a chat to somebody who's been in a similar situation or just want to listen, then that is where that's where you will go. If we may have to direct people to perhaps a legal team or to chaplaincy or wherever we need to direct them. We're well aware that we haven't got the magic wand, you know, we're not going to be able to cure everybody's issues or problems, but I think it all starts with someone to listen and someone to take and say, yeah, we are listening, we resonate with what you're saying. And, you know, as Mick was talking, it was so familiar. And I think, unfortunately, it's a male-based industry, and I think men are notoriously worse at talking and getting it out there than women. I mean, over the years, I've relied on my friendship groups and my family, and I'm a talker. You know, I'll get it out there, and that's really helped me with stress. The times we've been in a car, and for 2 hours, I've talked about the golf club on a journey, and, you know, this has happened and that's happened. And when I've got out, it's like this blanket of doom has been lifted from me. So I think that if we can get it out there, that it's not scary, just talk about it, and that's the starting point for everybody.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I know me personally, and as managers, we're responsible for our team, so we can't really go to our team and vent and share with them about the frustrations that we have, because you're loyal to the mission of the club.
Yes.
And then you go home and you don't want to weigh it down on your family members, right? So next thing you know, it's all being internalized, and depending on what happens, you need these outlets. So, you know, I think that's a great place.
And I think that's an important point you make. We all love our clubs. We're all very passionate. I love every blade of grass at our club. You know, it's been a huge part of my life. And you don't want to see people within that club going through issues, and you want everything to be right there, and I think that drives you as well to try and sort it out and make it a happy place for your employees to be a part of.
Right, right. Simon, why do you think we think our industry is different? I know we talked about it being a leisure industry and some of those things, but why do you think that is the case in terms of the people that we're working for?
Honestly, I think there's probably a few answers to that one, but it's really weird. We've all got some fantastic members, and we've all got some people that come in and automatically, as Mick said, because they pay this subscription to leave in some way, shape, or form, that gives them the kind of right to approach and chastise you in a way that you wouldn't do in any other sort of walk of life. I'm sure some of these people wouldn't do it elsewhere. And all you ask for is a bit of civility sometimes, isn't it? To be approached in the right way, to be questioned in the right way, as opposed to told,
sure,
a finger wagged at you. I'm sure we've all had that. You know, why can't you grow the grass better? Why can't you cut the greens lower? Why can't you? And rather than getting to the bottom of it and actually talking to you and having a conversation, a reasonable conversation, just to find out how you do treat your children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How you do treat the grass, why it's treated the way it's treated.
Yeah.
I think it's a really sort of, it's a weird one. Golf is very, we seem very insular in that way, where members of golf clubs, not all of them, we know that, but do seem to feel that they've got that right to approach anybody in any way at a golf club. You see it more and more, and unfortunately, for reasons that we're talking about here, it's got to stop. It has to stop.
Well, you've been at your club for a long time, and you had your own personal experience. So, how are things different for you at your club now as you've moved through that?
When my incident happened, which, like I say, that was the incident. That wasn't the build up to the incident. That was just what happened at the end of it. The reaction I expected from my members, weirdly enough, was one of just chastisement. I really did, but I had some really good people around me. Mick, you said about your family. I walked into the clubhouse after it had all sort of exploded and happened, and there were people that came up to me and just said, "Are you okay?" And they apologised. They said, "We're sorry. We didn't see it. We never saw it." And I didn't see it because you tend to be too close to it.
Right.
But there were people that came up, you know, some of the lady members I wouldn't have expected, who just grabbed hold of me and gave me a hug and said, "Are you okay?" And that was the most humbling thing that can happen to somebody. It's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you think of what the conversation we just had about sometimes they can be a little bit finger wagging, but sometimes you give them the right, you know, give them a chance to approach you in the right way, and it seems to happen.
You know, I think that our associations, the club manager associations, the greenkeeping associations, we have a big footprint in golf, but it's the players association, the PGA, that probably have the more front of the house seat at the table. And so I wonder if some awareness brought from that side, some, you know, encouraged by us, might be a way to really get it, you know, into the people that are need to hear the issue forward, would work better. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we as a group bring the PGA groups into it to partner with us?
I decided to go out speaking, very similar to me. So I go out now and literally I talk to groups, associations, whoever will listen to me. And it's been a really, really positive response. The things I've talked about so far have been received really well. To the degree that I had a phone call last week and the police wouldn't want to talk to me. So we're getting a little bit of, do you know what I mean, a little bit of sort of momentum there.
Uh-huh.
So
great.
Maybe maybe that, the more we can talk about it, the more we're going to get it out there. So
do you think the general culture of the game is becoming more receptive to this issue as we bring it forward?
I think society is. I think it's now becoming aware. You've got football with mental health, they're showing it on television, and doing support and this, that and the other. I think in general, it is now becoming a little bit more acceptable that it's okay to be not okay. You know, you just need to find the help and try and sort of search for it, or not even search for it. It is there, but if you just ask. And I think in most walks of life, they've all got their own stress issues, they've all got their own problems, totally accept all that. And I think in general, society has to do more. And I think, there's, you know, it'd be good if there were more. Everything at the moment is volunteer really at the moment, and things like that. Over the years, NHS have cut back a bit on mental health and things like that, which probably may have caused a bit of a long-term issue, which they may be missing out on. But I think it's going to be a thing that comes to the forefront as populations grow, as demands in general and life gets faster, people will experience more of these problems, and there has to be some form of window where they can go and look into and find help. And I do think it's not just general bodies, it's society itself has got to sort of begin through media, through schools, colleges, anywhere. And if prominent sports people can put it forward out there, even better.
Yeah.
You know, if people like Tiger Woods can stand out there and say, you know, we need to help these guys, and without them we wouldn't be playing or whatever, possibly people may listen rather than just think, no, they should be out there doing it at whatever time, but not in my way, and that sort of thing. So
it's all about communication, isn't it? I mean, you know, from the expectations to the awareness, all the things that we face, it's really about just talking about it and getting it out there. You know, I know in my own experience, you know, the expectations have always been, at least my opinion, they've always been out of line with the resources, you know. I mean, they think every day is the Ryder Cup, you know, and it clearly isn't. So we have to figure out a way to explain that to them, and maybe this will help us get better at that.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, does anyone in the audience have any questions for our guests? Questions? Well, thank you all very much for your time. I hope you have a wonderful week, and best of luck to you with all you're doing, and thank you for all
that
you're doing.
Thank you.
The Green Room Golf Course podcast is produced by myself, Carl Hansel, on behalf of the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. For questions, comments and concerns, you can get in touch with me by emailing carl@bigger.co.uk. That's Carl with a K. You can also join the conversation on social media using @greenroombigger. And we've also got a Facebook page where all the latest notices, news releases and information from Bigger can be found. We're also on Instagram using @bigger_HQ. Subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. The more people know about the sports turf industry, the more understanding they will have about the hard work of Bigger members and other greenkeepers. And speaking of Bigger membership, if you're inspired by what you hear to progress your career in greenkeeping, then a major first step is signing up to the association. The opportunities for career development are countless and potentially life-changing, such as volunteer opportunities at major tournaments and educational opportunities across Europe and the USA. Don't forget, if you're a golfer and you've got any questions about anything you hear on the podcast, have a conversation with the greenkeepers at your club. They've got the expertise to explain what's happening at the course and how it fits into the team's long-term vision to improve playability and enjoyment of the facility.